right. Hi, everyone. I'm Alexa. Obviously, you know me. And this is our special guest. You want to introduce yourself?
Yes. Hello. I'm Alexa's friend, Hannah. Yes. Honored to be here. Yes. Also a big fan.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. You know, it's so funny because Hannah has her own podcast. So I'll let you talk about that a little bit if you want.
Well, thank you. I do have a podcast. It's called Our Non-Toxic Podcast. My name is my co-host, and we actually record in the studio. So it's that would account for the change of scenery, but it's all things lifestyle, you know, entrepreneurship, fitness, just general life.
I love it.
A little bit different than yours, but we have a great
completely
time.
Different than mine. It's called Our Non-Toxic Podcast, and mine is toxic.
Which is a little sinister. That's
just
okay.
Just a little. Yeah, it's fine. It's
but
fine.
It's balance, right?
Yeah, it is a good balance. So I always ask, you know, my guests what they want to talk about. Like, what story are they interested in? And Hannah brought up a great story. So before I even get into the story, I have to do my disclaimer so I don't get sued. But the videos and podcasts are for entertainment purposes. All information discussed was found on the internet. Keep in mind, I talk all things sinister that may not be suitable for all audiences, so viewer and listener discretion is advised. But she brought up a great freaking story, and the story is the Slender Man killing. I mean, kind of killing, stabbings, right? Like, this story is wild.
I remember hearing about it, and I've seen a couple different specials online, and I am so intrigued, but it's been a while since I've heard about it. So when you asked me, I was like, I've always wanted to dig into this one.
Yeah.
And I would love to have you tell me all about it.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about this. And, you know, normally during the episodes, we do a drinking word, and we actually are not drinking this episode. No, I am not pregnant again, but I have not eaten since 9 a.m. and it's like 3:30 in the afternoon.
We're being responsible here.
Yeah, I think we need to eat first before I drink. I did bring a bottle of wine. But anyway.
Symbolically.
Yeah, we will pretend that we are drinking. She has a coffee. I have a water. So cheers to us for hydrating and caffeinating.
Absolutely.
Anyway, if you are drinking, please feel free to drink, and you are more than welcome to pick out a word in the episode, maybe stabbings.
Yeah.
I don't know. Pick out a word and follow along.
It's a great word.
So this story is wild. So it occurred back on May 31st, 2014, almost 10 years ago.
That is shocking.
It's so shocking because what's funny is the first time that I heard of this was actually, like, obviously right after it had happened. And do you remember Nancy Drew?
Yes.
Okay, so super obnoxious.
Blast, like, from the past.
Yeah, true crime OG. I remember watching her, like, talk about this. And she was just, like, sickened by the whole situation. But then what's funny is, like you said, there's been, like, spinoffs. There's been movies. There's been documentaries. And there's even been, like, TV shows that have done episodes about it. So I remember the Law & Order SVU episode about the Slender Man stabbings. And it was the same exact storyline. So this story is super crazy to me.
Doesn't even need to be adapted to TV. That's how crazy it is.
Yeah.
They can just take it straight from history.
They seriously
can. Which is why it's so crazy. And I almost feel like when things get so picked up by pop culture, it's interesting because you never know what details are accurate, which ones have been taken out of context and so on. So I'm excited to hear the actual story from the internet that we found.
Right. Okay. So let's get into it. So again, back on May 31st, 2014 in Waukesha, Wisconsin, two 12-year-old girls, Anissa Wire and Morgan Geyser, lured their friend Peyton Lutner into a forest and ended up stabbing her 19 times. All trying to get the attention of this slender man. Now, Peyton ended up living, thank God. She was able to crawl to a dead-end road, and a bicyclist that was bicycling down the road found her and called 911. So, you know, I'm sure we've all heard about the slender man story, but if we haven't, basically, he's a tall, thin man wearing all black with a white head, white face, no facial features. And there's so many theories about this. You know, it's kind of crazy because one of the theories is that if you see him, he will end up killing you. Yep. Another theory is if you see him, you have to do exactly what he asks you to do, or he's going to kill your family, mm-hmm. or he will haunt you for the rest of your right. lives. It's kind of like the boogeyman.
I've heard all of those. And I never knew where it came from because I think I heard about the legend of the yeah. Slender Man before I heard about the actual killings or yes. the stabbing.
Yeah.
So I never really knew. I thought it was just some urban legend that you see online and
right.
had no idea, but it would freak me out to the point that yeah. I think that I saw something like if you see even a photo online,
yes.
you're still cursed.
Yeah.
And even though I'm like, I don't believe in all of that. That definitely isn't real.
Yeah.
You still, I'm like, I'm just going to not look and scroll yeah, right past
it. I just
it.
Don't want to look close my
it
eyes.
It just is chilling. Like the oh, images of him and the drawings and there's like renderings all over the internet. And
there
all
are.
Of them are just the stuff of nightmares.
Yeah, absolutely. And you said it best, like it's an urban legend. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're going to talk about. Like this was fully fictional. It was completely made up. It's like, again, like the boogeyman or, mm-hmm. you know, who is the woman if you stare in the mirror and you say her
Bloody
name's
Mary.
Bloody Mary. It's yep. the same exact thing.
Mm-hmm. So until someone makes it real with something like this.
Something like this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's just, it's crazy to me. So back in 2009, there was a forum on a comedy website, this is where it started, called Something Awful. A man named Victor Serge posted some photos of kids playing in a playground back in the 1980s, 1986 to be specific. In this photo, which I'll show you, there is a Slender Man figure in the back of the photo and he's behind children. And so obviously now we know that they're photoshopped, but this is kind of where the story started. So you can see him in the background
with
the kids in front. And like in this picture, the kids don't even notice that he's there.
Yeah, they don't seem to be disturbed or anything. He just no. blends in.
Yeah, he just blends
and
in.
And he's like, he's not just tall. He's like absurdly.
Absurdly tall. Like 8 feet tall yes, and like terrifying skin and
tall.
Bone, like uh-huh. skeleton-like.
Yes.
Yeah, creepy.
Just like humanoid, but obviously but not.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. So these photos, again, are obviously photoshopped. They're fake. But people were... Whenever he posted this, people were like, oh my God, I've seen him. Oh my God, my kids have seen him. Oh my God, where is this at? I think I saw him as a kid, blah, 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 blah. Because this picture was from 1986. Mm-hmm. So it started this whole crazy situation where people start thinking that this Slender Man is real. And I'm not going to negate the fact that maybe people saw a creepy man in a playground that was tall and lanky.
But it's but almost like he has so few recognizable features. He has yeah. no facial features.
No.
He's just tall and pale.
Yeah.
That's a pretty generic description of anything terrifying.
Like it is.
Tall, pale, in the shadows.
Right. So wearing all black.
Yeah. It could easily yeah. be adapted to anyone's nightmare as a kid.
Yeah, exactly. Completely.
Which maybe is why someone chose to use that figure
yeah.
to spin this whole thing.
Right. Exactly. So, you know, people were saying that they know that he's abducted children and that he's done terrible things to children. And so then a site called Creepypasta Wiki talked about the story of a Slender Man and ended up becoming so obsessed with the story. But again, he knew that it was all fictional, the author behind it. So then people start becoming obsessed with the story, including these two girls. The two girls clearly didn't know that it was fictional and they thought, you know, they're 12 years old. They thought it was true. When we're 12, we think the boogeyman's real.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I was terrified of something under my bed until I was like 14.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like,
I'm 25
okay.
and I still won't check under the bed. So,
yeah, right.
It doesn't ever go away.
Yeah, especially, I mean, if you are home alone and you hear something in like your house, you're not going to go look under the beds
no,
or
exactly.
in the closets
I'm
or go
peacefully unaware of whatever
yeah,
is happening.
Exactly. You're like, oh, it's fine. Everything's fine.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So someone had even posted a newspaper clipping because, again, people got like obsessed with this. And I'm going to read this newspaper clipping because it's from June 15th, 1987. So it says Sterling City, California. A spokesman for a Sterling City Police Department admitted that this week that there are no promising leads on the case of 8-year-old Katrina Elkins, who went missing from her home Thursday night. It's like she disappeared into thin air, said the neighbor. Police were called to the residence at 6:30 by her father. He realized that Katrina went missing from her bedroom. Whenever he went in to wake her up from, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but whenever he went in to wake her up for school, she was not there. The only possible witness is her sister, 10-year-old Alice, with whom she shared a bedroom with. Alice has been unable to provide many details to the investigators. However, it seems that the girl suffers from an overactive imagination. The police department said she told us the last time she saw her sister was through the window where she was hugging a very tall man.
I have goosebumps. Like,
it gives me chills.
Ooh.
It gives me chills.
Yeah.
So when somebody posted this on this creepypasta wiki, again, kind of like Wikipedia or Reddit, like a blog.
Right.
When someone posted this, they're like, oh, Slender Man's real. That's him.
Yeah.
That's him.
Instant confirmation.
Instant confirmation. And
I don't want to speculate, but I will. Mm-hmm. It seems like the description is so vague. It could be adapted into any story. Like anything scary that's happened involving some kind of shadowy, nefarious figure.
Right.
He's probably a little tall, a little mysterious.
Yeah.
And if you just get a quick glimpse, like in the dark, say, you might not notice any features.
Yep.
I don't know. Especially as a child, I think that you might be so shadowed by trauma that you just don't know what's going on. And maybe you don't have a very reliable memory of the situation.
Or let's do the flip side of this. Maybe the sister really did see her hugging a tall man. Maybe there was a man at the window and he lured her out, and the mm-hmm. sister saw it happening. And so in order for her to get out of the window, she's having to like hug him so he can carry her out or pick her up and pull her out of the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, that is not an overactive imagination of a 10-year-old little girl.
No.
She probably really did see her sister leaving with a man.
And they're just discrediting what she said because she's a child. And
exactly.
And thinking there's no way that they were hugging. It has to have been something that she just made up in her head. But
right.
When you're that age, she might not have a concept of how awful and malicious people can be. So she just does see it as a hug.
Right.
Especially if there was some kind of like a manipulative luring tactic.
Absolutely.
They're not going to come out and threaten the child they're trying to get to go quietly away.
Yeah.
So
exactly. And you said it perfect. She's 10 years old. She doesn't want to see a lot of the bad things that we as adults mm-hmm. or even an older child would see.
Right.
So
you tell yourself that it's okay. And even now with access to, you know, true crime podcasts or everything online, you have a better concept, or even just being educated by your parents of the dangers at a younger age. But back then, maybe they just weren't aware that those things happened and didn't know what to look out for.
Right. And I feel like, too, I mean, the technology was completely different. There's so many different reasons, but it's just wild that people jumped on this
mm-hmm.
and was like, oh, yep, that's him. That's the Slender Man. The Slender Man's real.
Yep.
So then people become even more obsessed and even more fascinated by this fictional character.
And then everything seems to confirm it because they want it to be real.
Yes.
So
yeah, it's wild.
Maybe details get lost in that.
Yes.
In this desire to have this story be something other than just a legend.
Yes, I know. It's wild. So what happened in this story? Around 10 a.m. on May 31st, 2014, a 911 call came from a bicyclist saying there was a 12-year-old girl that had been stabbed laying on the side of the road. Officer Dan Klein responded to the scene. Peyton, the girl who was stabbed, was laying in the grass at the end of the dead road. Dan, the officer, said, quoted, "She wasn't moving a whole lot. As I approached her, I said, 'Hi, I'm Officer Dan. Are you okay?' She said, 'No.' As I got closer, I started to see a little bit more blood. And then the closer I got, the more blood that I saw."
What a weird first question to ask.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
I know.
What did he want her to say?
I think maybe like as an officer, you see a 12-year-old girl and you're probably like, what the hell is going on?
Maybe he was in shock or something.
I think he probably was.
That's just such a, the poor thing for one that had to crawl. Like that's the part that I think makes me the most nauseated about the whole thing is that she had like, imagine being in that level of survival mode at that age.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
But how how badass is that to save yourself from that situation? That is incredible.
She really did. Like, she is truly a fighter. And, you know, these girls, it's so sad. We'll talk a little bit about the friendship and stuff. But the girls were all friends, mm-hmm. except for Anissa. Like, Anissa wasn't. She was kind of newer to the group. But it's just, it's wild. It's so sad. Like, you expect, especially at 12 years old, you think your friends are, like, the best people to be around.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Like, at that time, you kind of hate your parents because you're about to be a teenager. Oh, yeah. And, like, naturally, the only people you want to be with are your best friends, mm-hmm. or any friends in general. And it's just, it's sad.
Oh, yeah. And you think it's the worst thing they could do is, like, sit next to the boy you like at, at lunch, not stab you 19 times and leave you for dead in the woods. But
right.
I guess you never really know your friends.
Yep. So Peyton immediately told the officer that her best friend, Morgan Geyser, attacked her and that there was another girl with her. The detective went to Morgan's house, talked to her mom, Angie, and it was determined that the other friend's name was Anissa Wire. Both girls were missing from the home. They had stayed the night there. So the detective started searching for the two girls. The detective thought that maybe Peyton had her story mixed up. And because they're like, how in the world could a 12-year-old girl stab another 12-year-old girl 19 times? He seriously thought that maybe Morgan and Anissa were in the woods somewhere, mm-hmm. and that they were stabbed or hurt as well.
Right.
So fast forward to 3 o'clock that afternoon, both girls were found on the side of the highway walking, and they had been apparently walking for 5 hours.
Oh my gosh.
5 hours. One of the detectives said, quoted, they were kind of dirty, covered in some stains, and their demeanor was very, very calm. They seemed kind of meek, if you will.
I don't even know how to interpret that. Like, that is just... Yeah. It's like, to picture that is such a nightmarish thing. Like, two little girls walking alongside the highway covered in blood.
Yep.
And not even shaken up by it. It just shows, I mean, of course they're in shock and they don't probably haven't processed or even have the ability to process that.
Yeah.
But it's just sickening.
It's sickening. And it's like, I don't want to say that people are born evil because, I mean, I talk about a lot of evil people.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. The more you hear stories like this, it's like if mm-hmm. a 12-year-old is able to do these things, how is the 12-year-old not born evil?
Right.
Like, you don't just develop this, I don't know, mean to kill or mean to stab mm-hmm. because of a fascination. I don't know.
And it's so strange because at that age, you would hope that they haven't experienced something so horrific that would allow that.
Right.
Like, change to take place. I know it's possible.
Yeah.
But then for two girls even, because I don't know. I know that the power of peer pressure is insane.
It is.
To attempt a murder on a friend.
Yeah.
That's just insane to me. And I don't understand what could have, I guess, come over these girls. Like, what their influence was that was so strong and how it got that deep into their minds and their psyche.
Yeah. Yeah. Just the fascination with the mm-hmm. Slender Man. It's wild.
Does it say how they got their... like orders from him or how did...
Yeah.
Okay.
A little bit. Yeah.
I'm getting ahead of myself.
Yeah. No, it does though, because it makes you question. You're like, mm-hmm. how in the world are they able to do all of these things?
Right.
So both girls at this time are now taken into different rooms for interrogation. They want to find out what in the world happened and why did these girls stab their best friend or Morgan's best friend. So one of the detectives talked about how Morgan, again, was just very, very calm throughout the entire interrogation process. He said, I have a lot of quotes, too, because I feel like the best way to tell the story is through the detectives mm-hmm. and how they specifically witnessed everything that these girls said. So another quote said, I mean, she's at a police department and she's covered in blood. This is like a normal day for her. I have never gone into an interview so blind as I have in this one. I thought that maybe this was all about a boy. This fight was all about a boy. Well, come to find out, it's not. It's not all about a boy.
It's about
and
a man.
It wasn't just a fight. Yes, it's about a man, a fictional character. So they are shocked to find out the true story about all of this. So again, Morgan and Peyton have been best friends for years. Morgan would end up calling Peyton Bella. That was her nickname because she had another friend named Peyton. And so she gave Peyton the nickname of Bella. when in the interview she had asked specifically to the detective, is she dead? I'm just wondering, is Bella dead? So you've been best friends with this girl. You even give her a nickname. Mm-hmm. But the first thing that you ask the detectives.
So cavalier.
Yeah. Is she dead?
I mean, I don't want to pretend to even understand psychology or trauma responses or anything. Yeah. But that just doesn't seem right. Mm-mm. There's no way that you can have witnessed all those things and.
Yeah. If, and have no emotion.
Yeah. Like if not you're a sane, rational person.
Exactly. And I understand like maybe they're in shock, but then again, like they were walking for 5 hours, mm-hmm. which we'll talk a little bit about where they were walking to. But it's like, I don't know. You would think that even as a 12-year-old, I'm sorry, but when I was 12, if I was taken into an interrogation room at a police department,
yeah.
I would be terrified if I did something or if I didn't.
Oh, the fear of consequences, the shame, the yes. regret, the terror, like all yeah. of those things.
All of it.
I would sob my eyes out if I was about to get grounded for not yeah. cleaning my room. So yeah. facing some right. something like this, I have no idea. But obviously,
yeah.
we weren't in the same headspace as these girls,
no.
thankfully.
Yes, thankfully. But still, it's wild. So Morgan ended up admitting in the interview that they were trying to kill Peyton. She said quickly in the interview that they were. Morgan said, I figured that I'd get into trouble eventually, though, because mommy always said that whatever you do catches up to you eventually, and it did. So both girls discussed that they had become obsessed with the story of the Slender Man in the woods and that if they didn't kill Peyton, then he would kill their families. Anissa told Morgan that she saw the Slender Man, and Anissa explained to the police that she learned about this frightening Slender Man figure on a website that collects horror stories called Creepypasta Wiki that we talked about in the beginning of the episode. So this girl was just Googling probably creepy stories or horror yeah, stories yeah. or I don't know, urban legends or whatever. Behavior. Yeah, exactly.
You get morbid curiosity. You want to be scared, especially yes. sleepovers.
Yes. In 2014, she had full access to the internet. Oh, hell, yeah. She probably didn't have a cell phone at that time, mm-hmm. but her parents probably had a laptop mm-hmm. or a computer, you know, a cell phone that they had access to the internet. So she goes to Creepypasta Wiki. She starts searching different horror stories and she comes across the Slender Man. So she becomes obsessed and then ends up telling her friend Morgan about this. So then Morgan starts becoming obsessed with the story. There's even, I don't know if I put it in here. I might have. Yeah, it's down below. But it even talks about how obsessed both of these girls end up getting. So Anissa is the one who tells Morgan that she sees the Slender Man.
Right.
Like, it just randomly sees him. And so she thinks because one of the stories that she came across, the urban legend, was if you see him, you have to kill for him. Like, you have to sacrifice for him. So that's where all of this started.
Oh, my gosh. And if you think about it, how messed up is it that yeah. someone just decided to post it online one day to
yeah.
create this legend?
Yeah.
And it led to all of this.
And it led to this.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that yeah. I hope that person didn't mean any harm by spinning this story.
No, absolutely not.
Putting out for some kind of scary entertainment.
Yeah, it's just a story writer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if people took like Stephen King's.
Oh, yeah.
As movies an instruction manual. Or books. Yeah, as an instruction manual.
We'd all like,
be doomed. We would be doomed.
Yep.
So she said about the Slender Man, she said there was one of them called the Slender Man. He can be anywhere from 6 feet to 14 feet tall. He's, like I said, a tall guy who consistently wears a suit. He doesn't have a face and his skin is white. I actually thought that he was real because I saw him. We were like talking on the bus and I look out the window and I see this thing standing like this with tendrils looking exactly like a tree. But there, he was there and then he was gone just like that. I was really scared knowing that the Slender Man was going to kill my entire family in 3 seconds and possibly kill me if I didn't do what he asked me to do.
I don't even know what to say.
I know. It's wild. And so what I think is crazy, if I analyze this, she said it looks exactly like a tree. Mm-hmm. I think this girl was so fascinated with this fictional character that she truly saw a tree, mm-hmm. but she thought that she saw the Slender Man.
Yeah. Well, when your mind is so inundated with all of these images all the time.
Yes.
And even, you know, your brain is still developing. You're afraid. You're consuming all these things. Even at night before you go to sleep, then you start to dream about things. It just, it's very easy to mistake things as reality, especially you're on a bus. Things are moving very quickly.
Yes.
Is it really that reliable of an image?
Right. And I feel like at that age too, it's so easy to be able to associate reality with fiction. Mm-hmm. Like, you could be told something and think it's absolutely true.
Oh, yeah.
Or you could tell a lie and believe that your lie is true. And so in her mind, I think she was just hyper focused on this one thing. And she was almost looking for him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep. Absolutely. And
of course, you look for something long enough, you're going to find it.
You are going to find it. So the girls wanted to prove to the Slender Man that they could kill Peyton. So that way they could go and be with him in his mansion in Nicolet National Park, which was a 4.5-hour drive from them. So after the girls tried to kill Peyton, because they thought that she was dead at this point. You know, they stabbed her 19 times. Mm. They started walking, and they were walking towards this national park because on this creepypasta, somebody had posted that he lives in a mansion out in the middle of this national park.
Yeah. Again, it makes you wonder what their intentions were when they posted that, because I'm sure it wasn't to lure 12. You hope.
You never know.
But you hope it wasn't to lure 12-year-olds out there.
Right. Or was anybody there out there in general.
Was there a house or was it residential? No. It was just the woods.
Yeah, it was just the woods. It was a national park. Now, there are houses that are located there, but not like a mansion with a tall, slim guy that I had found or researched.
Oh, my gosh.
So in the interrogation, the girls quickly, obviously, turned on each other. They started blaming each other to be the masterminds. The detectives ended up determining that these girls planned this attack on their best friend 6 months prior. So they had been working on what they were going to do to this poor girl for 6 months. It's wild. Like,
that's the part that, like, I cannot stomach, because it's one thing to think that girls can be, or children of any kind can be just manipulated and confused and act impulsively because they're young and they just don't, not that, you know, stabbing someone can be justified as they didn't know better. But you know what I mean? Like, it can be very quickly and they can be influenced. But for 6 months and there was nothing, no guilt, no conscience, nothing that kind of persuaded them otherwise or made them see that this is a horrific, awful thing to do.
Right.
So, I don't know.
You know, it's also crazy because I like, you know, looking at whenever I was a 12-year-old, my attention span was like gone in 10 seconds. Yeah. And so for them to be able to focus on something for 6 months, that's crazy.
And the thing that you said about they would turn on each other very quickly in the interview, that says to me that they had enough presence of mind to try and be self-preserving.
Yes.
Like, they saw the consequences.
They knew what they were doing was wrong. Yeah.
So the fact that they know to say, it was her, she was in charge of all of this, means that they're not fully dissociated. Like, they're not detached from reality in every way. So that's almost even scarier, because you can't even claim that they're fully not present in what's happening. Because they know enough to know there's consequences.
Yes. It's crazy. You know, the girls, one of the plans was they wanted to take Peyton to this local park that they normally would go to and kill her in the bathroom. Anissa said, from what I read on the computer, it's easier to kill people when they're either asleep or unconscious. And it's also easier if you do not look them in the eyes. She also said, I kind of thought banging her head up against the concrete was a good idea. Obviously, they didn't do that. Obviously, that didn't happen. But this girl, both girls ended up researching. But this girl was looking up, how do you kill people quickly? What's the quickest way to kill somebody? Do I look them in the eyes or do I not look them in the eyes when I kill them? Like, getting down to that specific granularity is just terrifying. And it goes back to me thinking, like, I'm sorry. I would like to know a little more about her childhood, and I wish there was more information about it. But it's like, has this girl killed animals before?
Yeah. Was there any prerequisite to this that might have led someone, like, tip someone off to this behavior?
Right.
And I don't even know that I could read an article. Like, first of all, who's writing how to kill people articles? Is it on, like, WikiHow?
Right.
That doesn't make any
sense. Or YouTube or something.
Yeah, I don't know why, like, we're making tutorials about that, like, next to the cat eye videos. But
exactly.
I don't think I could even stomach reading the article at this age.
No.
Let alone at 12.
Right.
And that's not even close to actually carrying it out.
Yeah.
So this is just unfathomable in every way.
I know. It's wild. It's really wild.
Also, was no one monitoring search histories back then?
Right. Like, what the hell were the parents doing? What were the parents doing? Because when the detectives ended up getting all of the devices, obviously they found all of this.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, what were the parents doing? Right. Why were they not looking at the search history?
Exactly. You're not checking at all what your kids are doing.
Yeah.
I just don't believe that there was no sign for the entire 6 months.
Right.
That was even a little bit alarming.
For either one of the girls.
Are they that?
I know.
That much of a criminal mastermind that they can just a manipulator?
Yeah. Yes. I know.
I don't get it.
So the girls ended up taking Peyton out into the woods to go bird watching. Morgan, the one who ended up stabbing her, said, "People who trust you become very gullible." And it was sort of sad. So the girls, in my opinion, were evil. Mm-hmm. They say they start playing a game out in the middle of the woods after the bird watching because they got bored. They, again, were playing hide and seek. And I have to read this interrogation interview word for word. I can't paraphrase just because it's chilling what the girls say. Anissa said she was going to, talking about Peyton, she was going to hide one place and then I was going to hide in another. And then Morgan and I were going to be like a lioness chasing down a zebra. I was going to tackle her and then Morgan was going to start doing the stabbing. So I started walking away. And then, like, when I was 5 feet away, I said, "Now." I'm like, "Go ballistic, go crazy, make sure she's down." The detective said, "What did you do next?" Asking both girls, you know, obviously separately. Now she's talking to Morgan. Morgan said, "I already told you, stab, 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 stab. It was weird. I felt no remorse. I thought I would actually feel something, but I felt nothing."
That makes me want to vomit.
It's so, like, I have to laugh whenever I talk about this
stuff. How much more clear could it be? Like, that they're psychopaths.
They are psychopaths. And it's crazy because, again, like, you just have to believe that kids are born evil like this in order to be able to do something at such a young age and then have seriously, like, no emotion on the interrogation process and just being so calm.
I mean, you hear about other serial killers who show these traits of, like you said, abusing animals and killing animals and they just escalate.
Yes.
So the same thing is true. Like, you wonder if this fixation is innate. Like, did they just come without this empathy or any regard for other human life? This like sociopath
type
mentality
behavior
that just makes you unable to feel for others and then commit these awful, heinous things.
Right. It makes you wonder. It really does. And we'll talk a little bit about, you know, the future and where they're at today and stuff like that here in a little bit. But it makes you wonder, like, how did the girls get to this? Were they exposed to some sort of violence as a young child that made them not have any emotion or, like you said, sociopathic, like, tendencies? It makes you really wonder.
And that's what's crazy is that, I mean, you know way more about these individuals than I do, but you usually hear about people that work alone. So there's a one-off case of these people who are kind of deviant from society, but to have two girls that just happen to be in the same grade, at the same school, in the same town, is that just like a crazy, awful alignment of stars that gave two twisted individuals like the same proximity?
Yeah. Right.
Or did, I don't know. Like, what are,
like,
the odds
of
that?
Did the stars align for them to meet? I know.
I mean, like, Jeffrey Dahmer didn't have, like, a killing buddy.
No, it was just him. He just lured the men in.
And it's easier to believe that there's just one person who is just so awful because of something that happened to them. But to think that awful things must have happened to these two
girls.
And then they happen to just connect.
Or what's even more scary is, like, maybe awful things didn't happen to the girls. Maybe they were never, maybe they never saw any violence or anything negative to this extent, you know, and it was all pure research and fascination with this man.
Do you think that maybe they were too young to even understand life and death? Like, is that even a possibility?
Probably.
I mean, I think 12 is decently old. You should be more aware of the world, but like,
for sure,
maybe in the case of them being so sheltered or like they just didn't understand the permanence of life or like what you're trying to take away.
You know, yes and no, but with some of the things that they have said, you know, that we've heard, I don't believe it. I think they knew that they were going to kill her for that reason. And I think they knew what they were doing was bad. Period.
I don't think that, I mean, as much as I would love to believe that there was goodness in the girls, because that's so awful. It just, I agree with you. I don't think that you can get to that point at that age and not have any awareness of what you're doing.
Right.
Which is even worse.
Even scarier.
Because you see things about, you know, little kids, like three or four or five that get a hold of a weapon on accident or something happens and they just don't know.
Right.
But 12, I mean, what are you, in eighth grade by then?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's wild. Mm-hmm. It's wild. Seventh grade, sixth, seventh. Yeah. Wild.
Old enough to know.
Old enough to know better. Yeah. So, you know, they consistently say that they wanted her to die because of, you know, why they wanted her to die. But the girls ended up being charged as adults with attempted first degree murder after the interrogations, which in my opinion is accurate. They should have been. And during searching for additional evidence, it was determined that Morgan is the one who Googled how to get away with murder. What kind of insane person am I? And she had also had drawn pictures of the Slender Man in her journal. They found pictures of this at school in her locker. Also pictures that she had drawn with dolls with their heads and limbs cut off. And so they had determined that Anissa also Googled some of these things too, but it wasn't to the extent of Morgan's Google history, search history.
Yeah.
So they quickly determined that Morgan was the ringleader within this case and she was the mastermind. She was later diagnosed with early onset schizophrenia and apparently her father has this as well. So fast forward to the trial. The trial started in 2017, which was 3 years after. Gosh. I know. 3 years after.
Was there a reason or do I just not understand that court system?
So there were lots of reasons. What I had found was mostly the mental testing, shall we say, which we'll talk a little bit about the insanity pleas and stuff like that. But they wanted to be able to determine if either of these girls had any mental disorders.
It took 3 years.
It took 3 years. It also took them a long time to get the search history. They did determine some of the search history was deleted. They don't know by who, because there was some search history deleted the day of the stabbings. There was some deleted after. There was some deleted before. So they were trying to determine who deleted the search histories. If the parents were trying to protect the girls. So some of that had happened. There were also, I had read, and I did not confirm this, I had also read on Reddit that the girls were both saying that they were going to commit suicide whenever they were being held those 3 years prior to the trial. Mm-hmm. So, which is understandable. They're 12 years old. They're taken away from their parents. Mm-hmm. They know that what they did is wrong, but they probably didn't think that they were going to go to jail.
Yeah.
They probably were like, oh, well, if I tell the truth, then I get to go home.
Yeah.
So I understand, you know, why they might have said that they were going to commit suicide. So that's why the continuance continued to happen.
Yeah.
So both girls ended up pleading not guilty due to a mental disease or defect. Anissa ended up taking a plea deal and pled guilty to attempted second degree intentional homicide with having the jury hear her insanity defense to determine whether or not she was criminally responsible to be able to be sent to prison or not guilty due to the mental disease and or defect and be sent to a state mental institution. So she was found not guilty by reason of mental disease or defect and sentenced to 25 years in a state institution. 25 years. So she will be 37 if she serves that entire 25-year sentence.
And I hate to even feel any remorse for someone who's done something so awful and tried to take someone's life away. But then you have to think about what kind of individual you'd be putting back out into the world. Because she's never even been an adult in the world. She's not even a high schooler in the world. So if your whole life and a lot of your formative years are spent behind bars and you haven't had any interaction, you haven't seen the... I mean, think about life. How the world will have changed from 2014 to when she's out. Like, she's not going to even be able to keep up.
No.
So is that going to make her more angry and more likely to be violent again? Or
Or will she truly be reformed? A changed person? Yeah.
Can you be reformed if you
I
have...
I don't know. That's a whole different, you know, discussion, I think, in my opinion, because I think our Justice Department is so ass backwards in so many ways and a mental institution for 25 years. Who's to say that that's the right punishment for a 12-year-old who stabbed her best friend 19 times in the back due to fascination? I don't know. Right. I am not, you know, any sort of type of expert in that means. But what I can say is, like you said, she's going to come out. Even if, let's say, she gets released next year, there's a huge difference in a 10-year time gap with technology, with just the world in general. She would need a very, very, very strong support system to be able to be supported outside of this institution.
Oh, yeah. And not that she didn't bring it on herself, but the internet and the world knows what she did. So anything she goes to do in the future, this is going to follow her. And like I said, she did make her own bed, but at the same time, what does that do to a person's psyche whenever you come out hated by the world? Everyone knows what you've done. You don't understand what's going on. You've been left behind by technology. You don't know how to adapt. You're behind all your peers. That doesn't really give you the warm and fuzzies and make you likely to go do charity work.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
I think it's just asking for another...
something bad to happen. Yes. I agree. So Morgan also took a plea deal and she pled guilty to attempted first degree murder, intentional homicide, and she did not challenge her insanity defense. She was sentenced to 40 years in the mental state institution. But what's funny is both girls were sent to the same mental institution, Winnebago Mental Health Institute. Like, I'm sorry, isn't that like a conflict of interest?
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't find any other state hospital
to commit murder.
Yeah.
You can't put them elsewhere?
Right. Or you couldn't go to like a neighboring state. Like, surely one other state would have said, yeah, you know what? Normally we don't take any people outside of the state, but we will because it's probably not a good idea for both girls to be at the same mental institute.
Exactly. Clearly they can escalate each other and they're both volatile. Yes. Like, that doesn't seem smart at all. But again, what do I know?
Right. I'm not no expert, but again, I think that's pretty freaking stupid.
Exactly.
So, let's talk about today. Where are the girls? Mm-hmm. Well, Anissa was released from the mental health facility in 2021 with an ankle monitor. Today, well, back in September, shall I say, she got just September of this year, she got her ankle monitor removed.
Oh my gosh.
So today she is 21 years old.
I didn't see that coming. Yeah. I don't even know.
Especially for being sentenced to 25 years in a mental institution. 25 years.
I mean,
you were there for 6.5.
Let's think about what she did. She convinced her parents and her friends and everyone else that she was not about to commit murder as a 12-year-old. So why is it so hard to believe that she could convince some medical professionals that she is reformed and not going to do that again?
And that she's a good girl.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
Well, what do you even do at that point? Like, does she have a job? Does she work at basketball?
I couldn't
find
I couldn't find anything on where she is. I would probably guess she might have changed her identity. I mean, why would you not? I would. Yeah. I would definitely have to change my name. But I would imagine that she's changed her identity and she probably doesn't want people to know who she is.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe moved. Maybe she moved to a different city. I mean, she's 21 years old.
Yeah.
Maybe she just, hopefully she got her GED in the state institution.
Right, right.
But I don't know. I think it's too soon for her to be let out. She was 12 years old. Now she's 21. Yes, she's a young adult, but 21-year-olds are immature.
Oh, yeah.
And so...
and you're still not fully developed yet.
You're not developed. Mm-mm. I would say she probably should have stayed in there for at least 10 years.
I agree. Even out of respect for Peyton and her family and...
yeah.
What does that say to a victim that You're going to go through the entire due process of justice and then give someone a sentence and then not even make them serve half of it. What is what hope does that give to other victims?
Right.
That we're going to give this sentence.
Yep.
They might have to do it. They might not.
Yeah.
And also to anyone else who's considering committing a crime.
Right.
That, well.
Especially in the state of Wisconsin.
Exactly. It's like, it's not, it might not stick. It's okay.
Yeah. Like, you only have to go to this mental institution for 5.5 years.
Yeah.
You'll be good to go.
Exactly.
Not even. But so Morgan is still institutionalized today. Her attorney filed for her to be released back in May of this year, but obviously that was denied. Mm-hmm. However, he did make a public statement and said, quoted, Morgan continues to make substantial progress in treatment and should be ready for release next year, we expect. So she was sentenced to 40 years, and they're already talking about releasing her in 2024, which would be 7 years from the time that she was institutionalized from the state institution.
That just seems like a slap in the face to the victims.
Yeah, and only victim. 10 years totally incarcerated. Yeah.
I just don't understand, like, that's not even half the sentence.
No.
So why give it at all?
That's if it's a fourth. Gonna be
so, yeah. And I don't understand. I could see if she served, you know, 35 years and they're going to say, okay, the last 5 years, we're just going to knock those off. Because that's still,
right.
You paid a lot of your dues and,
right.
And you should have.
Yeah.
But it just seems so, like, if we're not going to enforce the punishment for manslaughter, and what are we going to enforce it for?
You know? Exactly.
Like first degree murder?
Even, yeah, like I understand Peyton lived, and we're going to talk a little bit about her, but like I understand that she lived. I understand the girls were 12 years old. I totally get it. They were not mentally developed. Their brain is not mentally developed. They cannot rationalize what is truly going on in the world at 12 years old, let alone in the 10 minutes, you know, that they're doing something. But to let them out so early, what are the checks and balances? Like, are they saying like, oh, she's taking her medication today on a timely manner.
Yep.
She's not arguing with any other girls. She's not being a teenager, you know, or a young 20-year-old. What are the steps that they're taking? Like, exactly. Oh, they go to every one of their therapy lessons 3 times a week. Like, no, how do we say that reforms somebody?
Exactly.
And how do you know?
Unfortunately, you don't until it happens or doesn't happen again.
Yeah. Or until they get released and then like either they get a second chance at life and they do a good deed or they don't. And I do think that people deserve second chances. I truly do. I think both girls do deserve a second chance, but I feel like they should have spent a little more time incarcerated. And hopefully Morgan, since she was the mastermind, maybe they'll deny her early release next year and maybe she'll stay another few years. I don't know.
Well, I think there is some responsibility of the justice system to set precedents when it comes to situations like this, where you've never seen it before and you've never seen 2 12-year-old girls commit or attempt to commit murder.
Right.
So this is going to be hopefully one and only, but unfortunately that isn't always how it works.
Right.
So if this is what everyone else is seeing, and if there's other, you know, sociopathic adolescents out there that are saying, well, these girls did this and
they were out less than a decade.
Like, where's the consequence in that? You're setting a precedent of lackadaisical punishment.
Yep.
Early releases.
Yep.
Lack
do
of
whatever
consequence.
You want as you'll a 12 year old. You'll be out by 21.
Mm-hmm. Yep. What does that say?
Yeah.
And you know how kids can be whenever, you distort yourself into thinking that your parents are awful and they're out to get you. And what if, you know, this becomes a way to escape their reality. Like, oh, I'll just go to an institution for a while.
Right.
So I think
it very well could have been.
Oh, yeah. And online, everything is glamorized anyways. So who's to say that people aren't going to
glamorize this?
I know. I don't know. You could get into a rabbit hole with that.
We really could. So Peyton, obviously, we know that she survived. Thank God. Mm-hmm. She's so strong.
Yeah.
She ended up having to have surgery to repair all of her major organs in her body because of the 19 stab wounds. She's also had tons of therapy, physical therapy, and then obviously like mental therapy to work through her trauma. She did do an interview back in 2019, and she said, I didn't feel anything because my body was in shock. I got up and I just walked until I hit a patch of grass where I could lay down. I shouldn't be alive. I really shouldn't be alive after what happened to me.
Wow.
Like, it's so true. Like, I don't know if you are religious or anyone is religious, like listening or not religious, but somebody, something was with her.
Had an eye
God
on her.
Was with her. An angel was with her, or like someone, an like energy type force was with her that day, protecting her, especially if all of her major organs had to be operated on.
I mean, you just can't get around the medical marvel that that is.
Right.
Like,
and how long did she stay there? Like, how long was she laying there until that bicyclist, you know, rode by? Or maybe it was, like, instant and, it, like, I don't know. It's
something
just, it's wild.
Happened, like, brought someone along to
yes,
save her. That's just...
Absolutely.
I don't know. I think everything that she's okay.
And yes.
Is she... I'm sure she's living a very private life.
She is living a private life. I couldn't find her on social media. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if maybe she changed her name. I don't know if maybe she just doesn't have it. But what I did find last that we know is that she was in med school. So I don't know if she's going to be a doctor or a surgeon or a therapist. I don't know the whole situation.
Yeah.
But she's living her life. She's healthy. She's strong. And she's a med school.
And she deserves a privacy and she deserves the longest, happiest, healthiest life that this life has to offer. But wow. Can you imagine anything more awful?
I know. I know. But she's strong and she pushed through it. So
absolutely. Well, I mean, God bless her.
Yes.
For surviving. she's definitely going to win 2 truths and a lie anytime she plays it for the rest of her life.
For the rest of her life. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Icebreaker games would be no fun going up against her.
Oh my God. I know. No kidding. I would love for her, like, obviously, she probably doesn't want to tell her story much or relive what had happened to her until she's, like, in a better space, mentally to be able to do so. But I think it would be so fascinating for her to be, like, a public speaker of some sort. And maybe even, like, a public speaker against, you know, fictional stories. Or maybe she can try to find, like, a way that... this has happened to somebody else because of an obsession. I don't know. I feel like, or just being a victim in general who lived like that show, I Survived, like something like that. I feel like she could do wonders just telling her story if that's something that she would want to do with that publicity.
Absolutely. I can't imagine what it's like being in her shoes, but you think there would be some power in kind of reclaiming the narrative that's been told for you since you were a child.
Yeah.
And get to put her perspective. But then again, if she's moved on, doesn't want to revisit, then more power to her.
Completely understand.
That was just as jarring as I had expected it to be.
Yeah.
Even more so, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a crazy story. Well, thank you, Hannah, for being on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. And as always, like all of our shit on Instagram and all of our social media. Share it with all your friends. 5-star reviews. And as always, stay sinister.